Hello everyone, welcome back to my podcast. My name is Rose Ramandi and I'm excited again to be with you today. I want to share with you something so powerful. It's a conversation that Masood and I have almost, you know, like at least once a month. We talk about it because when we read the Bible from different ways and different aspects and different angles and dimensions, we get to this one thing that I'm sharing with you today. But before we get to that one, I want to just read a testimonial for you. After I shared my previous episode about what story are you telling yourself, I received a lot of messages, and I love reading those messages. But sometimes I really think that you know others have to hear about what God is doing as well. So that's why, you know, I received so many good testimonials, so many reports, and I just wanted to read one of them here for you. So I just received a message from this wonderful lady, and she says, I just wanted to thank you again for your latest podcast about what stories we tell ourselves. I had a headache when I was listening to this episode. Basically, I have suffered headaches and migraines since I was a teenager. The past few months, they have been almost weekly and often lasting 3 days at a time and are so, you know, like hard for her, basically. So now I just want you to listen carefully what happened here, okay? So let me just continue reading. Anyway, I have struggled so much with my storytelling to myself, but last night Jesus woke me up in the middle of the night to go on a walk with him. He gave me a backpack and told me to put all my stories on what I believed caused my headaches in the backpack. Then he asked me to pass him the backpack. He put it on his back and left me, and all my stories are gone. I am so thankful. It's such a relief. Thank you for being part of this journey for me. God bless you. That's amazing. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes it's that simple, you know, that it's just so simple, but so powerful. We tell stories to ourselves that are wrong, that are lie, because the moment you bring the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross into your life, the story changes. So now, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I highly recommend for you to go listen and share with someone who you think might be helpful for them as well, in order to start experiencing this transformation in the Lord Jesus. So that's why what I'm about to share with you today, it's in the continuous conversation that we had from the previous episode. But it just comes from, you know, from different angle, okay? So what I shared in the previous episode, it was coming from the stories that we are telling ourselves. But today is from different angle. And this is the conversation that Masood and I, we come to it over and over and over, almost every time that, you know, we read the Bible, and every time the question pops into our mind, and that's a question that we all have. And the question is, all right, so now what am I supposed to do now? Okay, so one of the things that we talked about, that what we are supposed to do, is we have to change the stories that we are telling ourselves by bringing the story of the cross and make the story of the cross our story. But now, you know, let me tell you like how this conversation started recently with me and the Lord, and then Masood and I went on talking about it for hours. So I was just reading the Bible, and all of a sudden I just paused for a moment, and I just, you know, how you can come up, you know, from the bird eye view, look at the whole message of the gospel one more time, and you look at it and you go, Lord. And I just looked at it about all those amazing promises, about, you know, like all those things, the promises of God that have been given to us, and all those amazing things that we can have in Christ Jesus, right? So I just looked at it again, and I said, God, do you really believe that we are capable of inheriting the kingdom of God? I mean, like, that we can be overcomers? I just paused and I said, Lord, do you really believe that I can overcome death? I mean, do you really believe I can do this? Like, if you have written all these things in the Bible and you're showing me and we're talking about overcoming and, you know, overcoming a struggle, sickness, death, sin, we're talking about victories in Christ, living a life in the Spirit, inheriting the kingdom of God, do you really believe I am capable of, for example, overcoming death? I mean, like, just think about it for a moment, that we are talking here about the promises of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote in Acts chapter 13, that brethren, the promise that God gave to Abraham, he has now fulfilled by rising Jesus from the dead, that he will not go back to corruption again. And, you know, so many of us, we think that Jesus is dead. You know, we act like how many times have you heard that somebody so-and-so died and they went to Jesus? I mean, like, Jesus is not dead, so the dead can go to him. And, like, please hear me, the dead will go to him. But Jesus is not dead, you know, so that you can just see him after you die. He's alive. He's resurrected from the dead. And we're talking about the gospel that he died for our sins. And now he's resurrected for us also. He died as us and he resurrected as us. So the message of the gospel is overcoming sin and death and overcoming all these, you know, twisted of the carnality of man and, you know, all the stuff. So now the point here is, I don't know how much you really know about the gospel, but when I looked at it, I paused for a moment and I said, man, God, do you believe that I can? Do you really believe that I can overcome death? I can put on immortality. I can put on incorruption. Do you really believe that I can, you know, overcome the struggles of my life, the addictions, the sickness? Do you really believe that I can do this? I mean, just think about it. And all of a sudden, I had just like Lord speak to me strongly. And he said, yes, I do. But do you believe? And I want to read for you from my journal what I felt like, what I was writing. It's very personal and intimate. And I usually, you know, this is, I didn't write it down so I can come and talk about it in episode. You know, I wrote it down because I had my private time. And now today, which I wanted to record, I felt like I have to read it. So it's going to be it's my private conversation with the Lord. Okay. So it's a very vulnerable situation here for me, but I want to write it because I know where I am, many of us are, okay? So the Lord says, do you believe? Of course I believe. I wrote all those things. I came and I did it all. Now, do you believe? And I said, Lord, to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I do. I mean, let me just read it. Lord, to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I do. I'm sorry, but it seems impossible to me. Now, if you really think about it, many times we want to believe. And because we want to believe, we think that we do believe. But if you really go deep and like in that moment, I was like, Lord, I'm not sure if I truly, you know, it seems impossible to overcome death. I mean, like, come on, guys. And then I said, Lord, but I want to help my unbelief. I want to believe the gospel to the extent, to the fullness of it. Help me to believe. And then, and this is when we got to the most important part of this conversation. That's where, this is what I'm about to tell you, is where Masood and I have been talking about it over and over. And you're probably going to hear me talk about it all the time, because I'm going to keep talking about it until we all are convinced what I'm saying, what I'm about to say here. Until we all finally get it, finally understand it. And, you know, and I'm going to keep, the Lord's going to, it's funny because the Lord talked about this to me 10 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, 8 years ago, like every week, every month. He keeps coming back to this truth that I'm about to share with you. And I'm going to keep talking about it to myself, with Masood, with you and everyone else, until we all get it one day. Okay. And I pray that the heart desire in me is that we believe, that we can finally get what the Lord told me here. In that moment, I realized that it doesn't matter. When I was just writing my journal and having my conversation, I didn't read a bunch of them here for you. It was so personal. But in that moment, I realized it doesn't matter what is being said. What matters is who said it. Let me repeat it again. It doesn't matter what is said, what is being said. What matters is who said it. That's why Jesus went around telling truly, amen, amen, I tell you. Now, everything that comes after this, it doesn't really matter. I mean, like, not that it's cheap or not that it's not important. No, no, no. Who said it is more important than what is being said. For example, I can come to you and say, hey, you know, we can go, I don't know. Let me just put it this way. I can come and say, hey, you can overcome death. This is like Rose said it. But then Jesus can come and say, hey, you can overcome everything. But then Jesus said it. So that's where I think, you know, we have to bring ourselves back into that path. Let me repeat it again. It's not what Jesus has said is so important. It's so amazing. It's so powerful. It's the promises of God is so important. But for us, what is more important is that who said it? Jesus said it. He who overcame. He who gives a promise and never, you know, do something against the promise. He who gives the promise and fulfills the promise. So do you see here, we read that in the book of James. I'm just going to read this for you. If we go to James. So in the book of James, our brother James is talking about temptations and all this stuff. Now, look at that. It's just like this verse. I wrote it down for a long time and I put it up on my wall so I can keep reminding myself. It's not loving the promise. It's loving the one who gave the promise. Now, look at verse 12 in James chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised. Do you see? The Lord has promised. So you can put this in any situations of your life. The Lord has promised something to you, okay? The Lord has promised to those who love Him. Did you just see it? To those that who love Him, not loving the promise. You know, the trap that most of us fall into it, including myself, that I have caught myself over and over and over in this Christian life, is that I'm loving the promise more than the one who gives the promise. I'm loving the promise, and that's where the twist is. When you love the promise more than the one who gave the promise, then you will try to achieve the promise on your own. Let me repeat it again. Oh my goodness, this is so important. And this can be so freeing. It can give you the key to unlock every challenges, to overcome everything. And as I said, sometimes we think we got it, but when the situation comes, we realize we haven't got it, okay? So now let's repeat it again. So the gospel has a promise for all of us. There is a promise of anything. But God gave this promise. Who gave the promise? God gave the promise. Now, let's go back to the story of Abraham and look at the story of Abraham. So God comes to Abraham. Abraham, come out. And then God gives a promise to Abraham that I will give you a seed that is going to inherit, you know, everything. Okay. So God gives this promise to Abraham when he was around 75 years old. Now imagine 75 years old is already dead. It's already like dead body. I mean, it's already old, right? So comparing to the natural way of looking at it, at the age of 75 years, I mean, like nobody's expecting to have kids or, you know, no woman can expect to be, you know, pregnant at the age of 75 or older, right? So God comes and says, okay, Abraham, I'm going to give you this promise. So God gave, now pay attention, God gave a promise to Abraham. So now we all know this story. What happened to Abraham? Before Isaac was born, Abraham goes to his, maid, Sarah, and then conceives, made Hagar, and Hagar conceives Ishmael. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. A few chapters later, when Abraham was about 99 years old, God appears to Abraham again. I think it's in Genesis 22 maybe or 20. So, but the story is this, that God appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, and he repeats the same thing. Now, Abraham gets up and he's sitting in the presence of God. And all these times, as God is just reminding the promise again to him, Abraham says, Lord, Ishmael be before you. Do you know what it's saying here? It says that from the time that Abraham went to Hagar, he really thought that maybe God is supposed to give me the son through Hagar. He goes to Hagar, and then Ishmael comes out, and then all these years, which is about 14 years, all these years, Abraham thinks Ishmael is the son of the promise. That's why when God comes to him again, 1 year before Isaac is born, God comes to him again and he reinforced the promise, remember and say this stuff to him. Abraham is thinking to himself probably and saying, okay, what is he saying? Like, okay, Ishmael is born. He's the son of the promise. Why is he telling all these things again to me? Oh, Lord, so Ishmael be before you. So Lord, Ishmael is the one, right? And now I want you to imagine all these times Abraham thought that Ishmael was the son of the promise. I mean, he thought Ishmael is the son of the promise. That's why when God is talking about the son of the promise, he brings Ishmael and says, God, it's Ishmael, right? Basically, Ishmael be before you. And now all of a sudden God says, no, no. It's not Ishmael. It's from Sarah. And now I want you to imagine, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. You had the promise from God. And all this time, 14 years or so, or even more or less, you thought this is the promise. And you thought Ishmael, you thought, okay, this is the promise. Okay, God fulfilled his promise in Ishmael. And now all of a sudden, God comes and says, no. And honestly, I imagine Abraham goes, oh, really? I mean, see what happened. Now, put yourself in Ishmael. All of a sudden, he realized that, okay, he received the promise, guys. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. God gave the promise to Abraham, but the promise was so important to Abraham, so important that the promise became more important than the one who gave the promise. So Abraham started thinking, then the promise has to happen. I'm getting older and older. And, you know, even though I'm 75, I still have the chance to put my seed inside this woman. And, you know, the Ishmael comes out and maybe the Lord meant this. And, you know, yeah, of course, like, he can't be from Sarah. Sarah is really, or, and you know, do you see what's happening inside of his head? I imagine these things. I mean, like, it wasn't just like one day he gets up and goes to Hagar. He really thinks that, okay, you know, maybe God, maybe the promise that God gave is going to happen through Ishmael. But he didn't know that God who gave the promise, he's able to make it happen. You don't just go try to do it and think that you fulfilled God's promises. So now the important part is he went on to Hagar, and then all these things, and then all these years, he's thinking that Hagar, the Ishmael, is the son of the promise. And now imagine all of a sudden he goes, uh-oh, I messed it up. Now, put yourself in Abraham's shoes when he realizes that Ishmael is not the son of the promise. Then he goes, all right, let's just like put yourself in the shoes of Abraham. God gave me a promise. Then I tried to make it happen. I went to Hagar. So didn't happen. There is no other woman that I can go into so that the son of the promise can happen. And then God says, no, it's going to be from Sarah. And then he's going to, okay, so Sarah's 99 years old or whatever, or 90. And then therefore, all of a sudden, every hope that he had in the flesh is gone. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. 25 years before that, when God came to Abraham when he was 75 years old, around 25 years, when Abraham was 75 years old, he still had a little hope. He had a hope and trust in the flesh, and that was Hagar. But all of a sudden, he realizes, okay, what I produced in the flesh is not the promise of God. Then Sarah's, I don't think, you know, is possible. So he didn't have any hope in the flesh anymore. We have to get to this point where Abraham got before we conceive Ishmael in our lives. And I was just talking to the Lord and said, Lord, you know what? I think Abraham really lost hope in the flesh. And all of a sudden he realized that God, let's pay attention, God who gave the promise, he's able to make it happen. Let me just read it here for you. And then I remember we had this in actually written in the book of Romans. I love it. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, or look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow. Do you see? God who gives life to the dead. Why is it saying? Because then it's going to talk about the deadness of the Sarah's womb and his own womb. And then he realized, oh, everything in the flesh is dead. I mean, like, my body can't produce. Sarah's body is dead. Now God is able. God is able to give life and fulfill that promise. Look at verse 18. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. There was no hope for Abraham in the flesh. Nothing was there that he could say, okay, I haven't tried this. Let me go try it. There was nothing there. And all of a sudden, he remembered the one who gave the promise, and in hope he believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, and not being weak in the faith, he did not consider his own body and already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, when you read this verse, he did not waver at God's promises. You know how many times we heard this? And we keep telling, oh, God, promise this, promise this. And before you know, the promise becomes more important than the God who gave the promise. When it says, do not waver at God's promises, it means believe the one who gave the promise. Now, that's why verse 21 says, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Wow. The first time when God promised, he went to perform the promise because he was fully convinced that the promise has to happen. He was fully convinced that promise is more important. But later on, he realized, no. He was then became to a place and a situation that he was convinced that he who gave the promise is able to fulfill it. Do you see? It brings us back to where I started. Lord, do you really believe I can do this? And the Lord says, yes, but do you believe? And then if you try to go and make it happen, it's not going to happen. The reason you and I, we think it's hard, because we think that I have to fulfill the promise. You think that you have to do something in order to bring the promise of God to happen into your life. But that's not the way. That's exactly where the temptation creeps in and we go off track and we fall into all this stuff that Abraham fell. We are talking about loving God and not the promise. And many years ago, the Lord asked me the hardest question ever, which I asked this from some few Christian friends that I knew. And they were terrified of the answer I asked, the question that I asked them. And to the point that they started even arguing with me and trying to convince me that God's promises is important. But now, I want to ask that question because that's where you realize where your heart is. That's when you answer this question, that's when you realize, is are you loving the promise or are you loving Jesus? And please, if I'm going to ask the question, but it can be very twisted. You can fall from different direction. As I said, the promise of God is important, but don't love it and don't try to make it. Wait for God and he who gave the promise. How are we supposed to anyways inherit the kingdom of God on our own? How can we really overcome death? I mean, like, if man could overcome death, they would have done it by now. Believe me, it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done it and he gave the promise to us. So we love him and we believe that if we are convinced that if he says, and if he said whatever that he said is going to happen. And now here's the hardest question that the Lord asked me. And then I just, aligned my heart and I made it so clear. And that was the question. If you know that you and I are going to be together and none of your prayers are going to be answered, if none of your prayers, if you know from today that in the next 50 years or whatever years, none of your prayers will be answered, are you going to still be with me? Do you still think you're going to follow me? Now, here's the thing. When you love the promise, then you're like, what? No, if I truly know that you're not going to answer any of my questions or any of my prayers, no, I'm not going to follow you. Now, as I said, this can be very twisted. And I pray that you can hear the heart of this question and you don't just create this stuff and doctrine and, all the stuff out of it. Please hear what the Spirit says. What I'm trying to say here in the context is when you love someone, you love that person unconditionally and you follow this person and you are with this person because you love him. And that's it. Now, we know that this person has already given the promise. So we know that he will answer the promise and he will make it happen. We already know that. But just to make my heart in the right place, are you loving the promises of God? You know how many times we receive emails after emails of people are frustrated, people are, you know, discouraged and frustrated because the promises of God didn't happen to them. Do you know how many times I have received a message or comment or email that tells me that you and Masood are making things very simple, but our experiences have been really harder than that? Maybe it is simple. Maybe the gospel is simple. You just need to change your story. Maybe the gospel is simple. You just need to shift and love the Lord and not what the Lord promised. Because if you loved what the Lord promised, then you become discouraged because you're going to wait a day or two or three, like Abraham, maybe 25. I mean, like sometimes I think, oh man, he did really great. You know how many years he waited? Actually, if you really look at it, it's not much, but still he waited, right? And then he went to Hagar. You're going to be discouraged if you love the promise. You're going to wait and you're going to start thinking, oh, maybe God said from this way. Maybe that meant, maybe this meant. And I really pray that this episode will give you some kind of wisdom that you need. And I pray that the Lord may speak to your heart and bring into light what needs to be, you know, brought to the light. I pray that God will visit you mightily, and show to you and reveal to you what I just about talked about. What happened to Abraham, I pray that it may happen to us before we produce Ishmael in our lives. I personally, I am happy that Abraham went to Hagar and produced Ishmael. So I can take a look at his life and I realize, oh, okay, I don't have to produce. You can be that convinced before you produce Ishmael. You can be convinced even when there are ways suggesting that you can produce the promise of God. You can be convinced before producing Ishmael that God, who gave the promise, he's able to perform it. Because we do not love the promises. We love our God, who is so amazing, so powerful, so life-giving, so wonderful, that he actually stepped in and without us asking, he gave it to us. He gave the promise. And as a father who gives a promise to his children, he will make it happen. He will fulfill it because he is a good God.